And this time on Culture File, we're back solving a problem like Anton. Last time, composer Dave Flynn led us through some of the twists and turns of the Bruckner problem, the name given to the difficulty that performers and audiences have working out if they've heard or played what Anton Bruckner intended or even wrote.
This is like his biggest symphony.
This time we're digging into Bruckner's Juggernaut Symphony No. 8, which the RTE NSO will perform this week.
A performance can last an hour and a half, can be longer depending on the conductor. Sala Badacci, the Romanian conductor, is famous for really slowing the symphonies down, and he creates this really spacious kind of thing, and that's controversial. Some people love it, some people hate it. The 8th Symphony, the first version was completed in 1887, and then there's the Novak edition of that, probably the most widely played. And then he did in 1888, there was an adagio, reworking of the adagio movement. Then in 1890, there was the second version, again comes out in a Novak edition. There's actually other editions too. Haas did his edition in 1939, which is the one that combined the 1887 and the 1890 versions. And then in 1892, there was a published edition by Haslinger, Schleslinger and Lienau. So there's all these different versions to draw from.
What are the distinctions in the versions then?
The main one, which makes a huge difference, is the ending of the first movement. I'll play the more common version first. This is Barenboim with Berlin Philharmonic. More common ending that you'd hear, unless you were at an event which advertised the original version. That's what you can expect. It really helps the symphony grow, I think, to have it end, the first movement end like that, because usually Bruckner's first movements end in quite a big sound, and so this was kind of unusual for him to just kind of peter it out. But because it's such a long symphony, it sets it up and it gives you the sense of the tragic, of the kind of mood of it, of being pensive and not the big happy ending. A bit ambiguous of an ending, you know, it's kind of an ambiguous ending. It sets up what's coming next, you know, you're kind of like, you know, there's more to come and a lot more to come. Here I'll play the ending with Simone Jung. So what we're going to hear is a bit of what we've just heard, but then it just builds up. Again, to just, it seems like out of nowhere, let's put in a big ending. It's completely new music. The revised version that we just heard, it just ends pretty much similarly to what we're going to hear towards the end of the 8th Symphony, the original version. You're getting similar kind of music. But then in the original score, you just get this big orchestral kind of... climax. It's a completely different mood. It ends the first movement of the symphony in a completely different way. And the advocates for the revised version, and I would tend to agree with them, would be that this kind of big ending in the original version kind of takes away from the final ending of the full piece, you know? When you don't have that ending and you kind of peter out like in the more familiar version, you're still kind of waiting for that huge climax. And if we just play, say, the climax of the whole symphony, you haven't heard something quite like this throughout the symphony. And after 90 minutes, especially live with a great orchestra and a great conductor, after 90 minutes, this ending is just one of the most hair-raising things in orchestral music.
What we get from different versions there, this is two versions that are both created by Bruckner. Yeah. And one of them, he's written an ornate and dense piece of music, but then just decided that's not the place for it.
Yeah, so when Bruckner first presented his first version of the symphony, he presented it to the conductor Hermann Levi, who rejected it as unplayable. Apparently, it sent Bruckner into a pretty big depression, and he revised it considerably then, because he had just actually, not long after, had the first really great symphonic triumph of his life when the Seventh Symphony was premiered, and it was really well received. And he had faced a life of almost rejection for his symphonic work, or confusion, and he had this great high of that, and then this crushing kind of defeat, so it caused him to revise it. And maybe that feeling pervaded the new version of the symphony, taking out the triumphal ending of the first movement and making it a kind of a more solemn ending.
Does it harm him overall that so many of the pieces are considered sort of malleable in some way, that they've been changed so many times that it feels like anybody's intervention is worth something?
I think the Bruckner problem as a whole probably does harm Bruckner's reception. He is considered a great composer and a great symphonic composer, but there might be a resistance to place him among the top rank, partly because the pieces are so long and they're difficult for anyone, unless you get really into it, to just sit through a 90-minute symphony. Who has time for that, you know? You could listen to 7 Haydn symphonies in the same time. Some of Bruckner's symphonies have subtitles on them, and this is subtitled The Apocalyptic Symphony. It does have this sense of doom and foreboding, you know. To actually see a really good performance of it is life-affirming in a way, even though it's apocalyptic, you know. Because it does actually have a really uplifting ending, I think. You know, it goes through all this turmoil, and it's almost like it's a crisis of faith or something, or was it just a crisis of life, or he's fighting something anyway, and then it's resolved gloriously in the end.
Dave Flynn there on Further Shades of the Bruckner Problem, and the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, with Michael Gertz conducting, performed Bruckner's number 8, the 1887-90 Haas version, for Dave Flynn and all the Bruckner nerds, this coming Friday 7th at the National Concert Hall in Dublin. The mini-cycle continues at the NCH on February 21st, when Natalie Stutzman conducts Bruckner's Symphony number 7.